Our Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Forum continues in this half hour of our State Capitol Report. We heard from the incumbent Justice, Pat Rogensack, in our past half hour, addressing issues in this race and telling us why she should be elected to another 10-year term on the court. Now we will hear from her challenger, Marquette University Law Professor Ed Filone, who will make the case why Justice Rogensack should be replaced. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Monday, March 18th. You can call in with your questions now for Professor Filone at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Ed Filone is Associate Professor of Law at Marquette University, where he teaches constitutional, corporate, and criminal law, and is a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So why did you decide to run for Wisconsin Supreme Court?
Well, I decided to run for our state's highest court because, as an educator teaching the next generation of lawyers, I was often finding myself instructing them in the high standards of conduct expected of our profession. At the same time, I was reading newspaper headlines that made it clear that our state Supreme Court was dysfunctional and needed change. And so I decided that I had to run in order to bring change to the court and get it functioning again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Justice Rogensack told us in our last half hour that, you know, she is not responsible for a physical confrontation between Justice Prosser and Justice Bradley, that she's not also responsible for Justice Prosser calling the Chief Justice the B word. Do you hold her responsible for those things?
Well, I hold her responsible for not addressing and contributing to the dysfunction on the court. It's very important that our state's highest court be able to function effectively. And Justice Rogensack has contributed to these cycles of ill will, recrimination, hostility that have gone back and forth, that Justice Michael Gableman has recognized, that other observers have recognized, and I think that the voters see with their own eyes. And instead of addressing these problems, she's taken specific actions, such as pushing for and defending the Rogensack rule, opening the door for more campaign spending in judicial races by special interest groups, and she's been denying that there's a problem at all. And so that's why I think reelecting Justice Rogensack is not going to move the court forward.
Yeah, what do you make of her effort to get the Supreme Court to sign a letter of apology for the acrimony that we've read about, but that the other justices, this didn't work, that it wasn't a unanimous decision to sign something like this?
Well, it was destined to fail from the start because it was a poor second choice to just following the normal disciplinary proceedings. We have statutory proceedings put in place by the legislature that govern what happens when there is a sitting justice charged with misconduct. An independent body, the Judicial Commission, investigates and prosecutes. It's referred to a three-judge panel, and then eventually the state Supreme Court decides the issue. Those normal procedures were derailed when Justice Rogensack recused herself, leading two other justices to recuse themselves. And so the letter of apology, not only is there no accountability in a vaguely worded letter that doesn't even mention any justice by name, but it's also a form of procedure that's not provided for in the statutes, and that goes against our constitutional command that only the legislature can come up with rules of discipline for judges.
Justice Rogensack said she was required by statute, because she was a material witness, to recuse herself from that case involving Justice Prosser and Justice Ann Walsh Bradley.
Well, I disagree, and I said all along, if you simply read the statute, it does not require recusal except in cases involving civil or criminal proceedings. And disciplinary proceedings are neither civil nor criminal. They are regulatory and administrative proceedings of the court, and the rules of procedure in the Judicial Commission provide that you only apply rules such as the recusal rule to disciplinary proceedings where practical. And obviously, if applying the rule results in the entire proceeding being thrown into a legal limbo, it is not practical.
What did you mean when you said that she pushes the Rogan Sack rule.
Well, this was a change in the Supreme Court rules. It was a petition to change the rule. There were parallel petitions filed by two groups, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Wisconsin Realtors Association. And in both cases, they changed the rule so that the judge's receipt or the judge's campaign committee's receipt of contributions from a group could no longer form the sole basis of a recusal motion. So it couldn't be raised by a party as the grounds for the judge being too partial or biased to hear their case. Justice Rogan Sack not only voted for the change and resisted any call to study the issue or ask circuit court judges for their opinion before adopting verbatim the language pushed by these groups, but she also took the extraordinary step of writing an opinion piece defending the rule change that appeared in newspapers across the state. So she has been an advocate and defender of this change in the rules, and I think that one of the reasons why we have so much division and dysfunction in the court is a lot of the special interest funding, these campaign contributions by independent groups that are now infecting our judicial elections just like they infect our political elections.
Would you, Professor Fallone, have to feel the need to recuse yourself from a case that involved a labor organization if you accepted campaign money from a labor organization?
Well, the prior rule was very simple. It allowed the party to bring the motion asking the judge to step down if the party believed that campaign contributions made to that judge might influence the judge's decision. And then the judge would have to rule on that by examining the context, the circumstances. So the prior rule did not require stepping down if there was, for example, a $100 contribution, but it allowed for the party to raise the issue if there was a $1,000 contribution or a $10,000 contribution. And so that's where I think we need to go back to the prior rule. It's not just the fact that a contribution was made, but it's the size, it's the context of the contribution, and we should allow parties once again to raise that issue.
Well, we presented Justice Rogan Sack a question from a Facebook listener who wanted to know where her funding was coming from for her campaign or for her TV ads. I'll ask you the same question. Where is most of your money coming from?
Well, based on our last finance report and as fact-checked by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for whatever that's worth, the majority of my funding in that last report came from private individuals. And I'm very proud of the fact that this is a broad-based campaign that I'm running. I have a broad base of support among individuals across the state who really just want a state Supreme Court that we can be proud of again.
Gary on Facebook wanted me to ask both candidates this question. Please ask your guests how Attorney General Van Hollen and Attorney Lester Pines can have such widely different interpretations of the Judge Colas decision regarding Act 10. Also ask them if, in their opinion, constitutional protections should be interpreted in favor of the rights of the individual or the economic interest of the state.
Well, that's quite a broad question.
That is.
Oh, you have 3 hours here?
Oh. No, 3 minutes.
Well, I could tell you that one of the things that I've tried to do in my career is I speak out on your show previously before I was a candidate and in other media interviews and in my writings as a law professor, is try to educate the public that there are no real frivolous claims in these highly contentious issues that make their way to our state Supreme Court. And there are many commentators out there in the media who want to denounce certain lawsuits as frivolous, without basis. It's not that black and white. These are serious questions, and that's how they get to our state Supreme Court. There are strong arguments on both sides. And so when I did write about Judge Colas' decision, it was in the context of saying, look, here are the arguments, the precedent, the legal authority that he relied on. Here are the instances where he may have differed or departed from some of that legal authority, and try to educate the public about the issues rather than just engage in a one-sided diatribe.
Mm-hmm. The one of our Week in Review guests, who used to be with us on our Week in Review program, David Blaska, said last week on Friday that if you want to have Act 10 upheld, you should vote for Justice Rogensack. If you want Act 10 overturned, you should vote for Ed Falone. Your reaction to that?
Well, it sounds to me like Mr. Blaska is injecting pure partisan politics into this judicial election, and that is something that I have opposed from the very start. Whether it comes from the right or the left, I think it is a disservice to all of us to try and transform a judicial election into a re-argument over the political battles that have divided the state for the last several years. I think our judiciary should be the one place where we put aside that partisan political posturing, and the judges just need to focus on the law. That's absolutely what I'm going to do, and I've told every group I've talked to, my supporters, that I'm not going to vote 100% of the time the way they want me to vote on political grounds, but I'm going to vote 100% of the time the way the law dictates.
Do you, Professor Falone, think that a candidate for Supreme Court needs to have judicial experience?
Well, that's an easy answer. No, because so many of our state Supreme Court justices came to the bench without any prior judicial experience. So it would be quite odd to suggest that it's a necessary requirement for the job when so many of our justices have no judicial experience before they assume the bench. I mean, obviously, Justice Prosser came to the bench from the Assembly with no judicial experience. And our last three chief justices, Justice Abramson, Justice Day, and Justice Heffernan, all served with no prior judicial experience. That's a ridiculous assertion.
And you've heard Justice Rogensack make that assertion, though, saying that she has the judicial experience, and while not required by statute, saying it's a vital part of doing the job.
Well, I haven't heard her say it's necessary for the job. I'd be surprised if she would go so far as to say that, given that it would be somewhat disrespectful to at least a couple of her colleagues. I understand her argument that she believes her tenure on the court gives her, a qualification that she's proud of. But I think the key here is that this is a choice for the voters. It's a choice between reelecting Justice Rogensack, who is not serious about addressing the dysfunction on the court, is not serious about healing the divisions on the court, or electing me. I have made my priority getting the court functioning again effectively, giving us a court that we can be proud of so that the court can do its job and focus on the law and decide these important cases.
We are talking with Ed Falone. He's an associate professor of law at Marquette University and a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. He faces the incumbent, Justice Pat Rogensack, on the April 2nd election. We'll take your calls for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org right after this. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's going to be a cloudy day, a snowy day as well, a slight chance of some light freezing drizzle as well throughout the day. Highs today, upper 20s in the north to the low to mid 30s in the south. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will talk about hunger in America. We are going to be talking with the editor of a book about hunger in America called A Place at the Table. That's after 8 o'clock. This is a candidate forum. We are talking with candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Ed Falone. And to the phones now, Jeff in Appleton is with us. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Joy. A couple minutes ago, you posed a very simple yes or no question as to would he recuse himself for a case involving organized labor. And there was a little rant going on there about some other items, but no actual answer to that question. I would like to hear an answer, yes or no, to that question.
Okay, thanks. I was just up in Appleton last Monday and had a great time talking to voters there. The question asked, you're asking for a yes or no answer when the legal rule that was in place before Justice Rogensack changed the rule was not a yes or no rule. The legal rule that was in place was that the party who felt the judge might be influenced by campaign support from a particular group could bring that motion, and the judge would have to consider the context. So the fact that a labor union is involved in a case by itself does not automatically require a recusal if that union has contributed financially to the judge. It's a question of how much money and the context of that support under the prior rule. What Justice Rogensack did is actually change the rule to provide that the campaign contribution could never be the basis by itself of a recusal motion. And so she transformed the rule that depended on context into a flat prohibition on any party raising the issue at all. And that's where I think there was a mistake.
Next we go to Mary in Oconomowoc. Hello, Mary.
Hello. Hello.
Yes, your question,
My question was just, I think the 10-year term seems exceedingly long. I was wondering if and had any comments or thoughts about that. I just thought maybe in 10 years, you know, lots can change.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question, and it's true. The 10-year term for our state Supreme Court justices is a long term in office, and that's why this April 2nd election is so important. The individual the voters choose will be on this court for a long time. But I think that there's a sound reason for that, and that's because as much as possible we try to insulate our judges from the potential political backlash of following the law, making a decision based on the law that is not politically popular. And so if judges had a shorter term, they might perhaps feel more pressure to rule in ways that are politically popular as opposed to ways that are legally required.
Some, including the Wisconsin State Journal, have said that we shouldn't be electing judges, especially Supreme Court judges, that maybe there should be some sort of merit selection process in place. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I disagree. One of the things I've learned as a candidate for the Supreme Court, as I've gone around the state, and just this past week I was everywhere from Appleton and Green Bay to Shawano, Stevens Point, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Sheboygan, as I've gone around the state, I've had the opportunity to talk to voters, to listen to their concerns about our state's legal system, their concerns about the lack of accountability in the Justice Prosser proceedings, their concerns about the dysfunction on the court. And I think it's a good thing that our judges get out and talk to the voters and hear the voters' concerns, and that's what happens in an election process. So I'm in favor of elections.
Our next caller is Jim in Waterford. Hello, Jim.
Last comment is interesting. I think the justices were supposed to be concerned about the level of the law, not voters' concerns. But my real question is, the judge itself, by that term, would be someone who needs to have sound judgment. And I would like the candidate's comment on his seeming lack of judgment with some previous association with the leader of the Latin Kings. That should concern anybody that is considering this election.
What is your relationship with the leader of the Latin Kings, Ed Falone?
Well, the caller is referring to attack ads that are being run against me. I'm very proud of my leadership of a nonprofit organization, the Latino Community Center. As president of that organization, I successfully obtained the voluntary resignation of our executive director, who had some personal problems that became public in the newspaper. I managed to keep the doors open of the center. We were serving hundreds of children, after-school programs, anti-violence, anti-gang intervention programs. We served hundreds of children every night. I kept the doors open. I kept the staff paid. I successfully recruited a new executive director, and within a few years, the Latino Community Center had received a prestigious national award from the MetLife Foundation for reducing violence in our public schools in Wisconsin. So I'm very proud of what I accomplished at that center, and I absolutely think that the reason why we have these sorts of attack ads in our judicial races is because the special interest money, the door has been opened wider than ever under the Rogensack rule, and unless we can close that door and get some control over spending by outside groups in our judicial races, we're just going to see more and more of these attack ads.
Yeah. Briefly, he said you should be concerned about the rule of law as a Supreme Court candidate, not voter concerns.
Well, I mean, the reason we elect our judges is so that they are accountable to the voters. And so the entire philosophy, why Wisconsin as a state and other states elect judges, is based on the premise that all three branches of our state government should be accountable to the voters. The voters are the sovereign power in the state of Wisconsin. And so I absolutely understand that under our state constitution, it is very appropriate for judges to reflect the will of the voters.
We have just a minute for your closing argument. Why should people vote for you on April 2nd?
Well, people should vote for me for the state Supreme Court because we have a choice in this election, and it is a 10-year term. The choice is simple. I absolutely am committed to ending the dysfunction on the court, getting the court working effectively again, healing the division that so many people see is hampering the work of the court, whereas Justice Rogensack says that there is no dysfunction and the court is getting along fine. I have pledged to reverse the Rogensack rule, to once again allow parties to raise the issue of campaign contributions as the sole basis of seeking a recusal motion of a judge if they feel that judge cannot be impartial. Justice Rogensack was a staunch defender of that rule and voted for the change that put in place the Rogensack rule. Absolutely, I think the voters of this state are ready for a change on the court. They're ready for someone who is independent and open-minded, and I really do believe we're going to win on April 2nd.
Thank you so much for being with us. Ed Falone is an associate professor of law at Marquette University, a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster for producing this program. This is the Ideas Network.